they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dog Blues.
Very good morning, listeners, as we begin our footy weekend in the best possible way each Saturday from 9 a.m. right here on 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues. It's been 8,709 days since the Mighty Blues last lofted the Premiership Cup, and your official WA network, supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, the WA Blues, remain to bring you the best footy panel on radio today. Your hosts are myself, John Allen, joined today by Chris Brownie, the dulcet tones of Andy Baritone Jones, Yuri Bilsich and Michaela Allen. On the program today, we look at all AFL news, Blues news, and review the remaining AFL round, including tips, special live guests as always today, interview, and today it's the man responsible for nurturing our depth in the Magoos, Northern Blues coach Josh Fraser. We cross live to the hyphen, David Rees-Jones, for the shirt front. We look at who is putting their hand up for the senior side from the Blues Magoos in the VFL, and upcoming Blues supporter events in WA and info for all WA supporters, as well as some more Carlton Football Club news and pretty much whatever we can squeeze into the hour, including the weekly whack, which we're looking forward to today, Andy, aren't we? And we couldn't bring you this show without a little bit of help from our supporters and sponsors, as always. So, Chris, who do we have to thank today, mate?
Well, we have to thank WA Blues' major sponsor, Hyundai WA, our platinum sponsors, Allmark and Associates, Tech Tiger, Master Pitcher Framers, and the Carlton Football Club home in WA, Empire, at 220 Great Eastern Highway in Lathlane.
And can't wait to get to the Empire tomorrow. The big game, Blues Eagles on the big screen out in the garden. Any listeners out there, get on down. It's going to be a ripper. Food and drink specials, as always, at the Empire. Tomorrow, bounce down 120 at the Empire. Now, Andy, what have we got in AFL news today, mate?
The first news item comes with a heavy heart and sincere condolences. Our Navy Blue brother in Liam Jones lost his mother during the week. The Breakfast with the Blues panel and all WA-based Carlton supporters extend our deepest sympathies to Liam and his entire family.
That we do. Sure.
Last night saw Sean Burgoyne break Adam Goods' record for the most games played by an Indigenous player, having recorded 148 games at Port Adelaide before notching up game 225 at the Hawks for a total of 373 games, including four premierships. Sadly, for Silk, last night resulted in a Hawthorn loss, the Roos grinding out an admirable 22-point victory in celebration of Reece Shaw's appointment as North Melbourne head coach. An interesting point is that Reece was the only man interviewed for the job.
Yeah, a bit strange, that one.
Yeah. It is. I thought, mate, Brett Ratton might have been interviewed as well, potentially, but he said with Jared Waitley that he wasn't. So that came as a little bit of a surprise for mine.
Good timing, though. Yeah. They were on a bit of a downward curve. They needed something again, sack the coach, go on an upward curve, start going the downward curve, announce the head coach.
Up you go.
Yes. That's the North way.
Indeed. Frio are on the nose once again, with Damien Barrett labelling Ross Lyon the boss of Balderdash, while Shane Kirsten's and Harley Bunnell's manager Colin Young decide to hit out at the Dockers injury management program. I have to say that loss to the Duggos last week was pretty woeful. Ross the boss of Balderdash even admitted it was embarrassing. I really hope Ross doesn't end up at Carlton and we sign David Teague as head coach post-haste, but that's my opinion.
Ross won't be going
to Carlton. No way.
Not in the reckoning at all.
No.
You'd hope not. Speaking of previous Carlton players, Eddie Betts and Bryce Gibbs get a recall for Adelaide this week. It seems the beer and pizza at Don Pike's house did the trick, but personally, I hope St Kilda notch up their first ever win at Adelaide Oval tonight. Mark Blitzarves was deservedly fined for some shocking staging against Sydney last Sunday. In a touching moment, field umpire Eleni Glyftsis was proposed to by boundary umpire, now fiancé, Dylan T, after our win against Adelaide last Saturday. And just quickly, can someone in the Port Adelaide hierarchy...
That make her Eleni Glyftsis T?
Something like that.
Rolls off the tongue. I like that.
Glyftsis T, very much so. Just quickly, can someone in the Port Adelaide hierarchy please stand up to David Kosh and also stick a sock in that journalist, Tom Morris? Port Adelaide brought in a lot of youth in the off-season. I reckon there is way too much expectation being placed on them and Ken Hinckley. But anyway, over to you, Johnny.
That was supposed to be the punching town Yuri for the giving Koshy a whack. But you know what? It was time to wind him up. He's had way too long, so well done. And what we will do is cross over to you, Yuri. Welcome to the show again, Yuri.
Thank you. It's absolutely
for the first time today as well. And, mate, upcoming round games and predictions. Let's rattle through them.
Let's start it off with the first game for this Saturday in round 20, Essendon and Port Adelaide at Marvel Stadium. The 7th place Bombers against the 10th place Power. Big game for both sides, especially Port Adelaide, who need a win to keep their faint finals hopes alive. But, however, I think the Bombers should win by roughly 3 to 4 goals.
Yeah, Bombers for me.
Bombers.
Bombers by 9.
The next game between GWS and Sydney, the battle of the bridge between 5th place Giants and 15th place Swans at Giants Stadium. I think the Giants should win, even though Jeremy Cameron will be sidelined for roughly a fortnight with a calf injury.
Giants.
Giants.
Let's hope the Giants munt the Swans. 14th place is there for the taking,
yes,
Blues.
Yes.
Mm.
Okay, the next game between Fremantle and Geelong here at Optus Stadium, 2:35 bounce down. I think Geelong will win by roughly 3 to 4 goals, and that depends on whether the weather as well comes in today, because showers are expected.
Meow, 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 meow,
meow. Meow.
Pussies all the way.
Okay, so next game, MCG tonight, Melbourne and Richmond. Well, the Tiger train's hitting full flight, just like what it did back in 2017, and Richmond should win comfortably by about 5 goals.
Tigers.
Tigers?
5 goals is pretty generous. I think this could be an embarrassing munting, and I think the Tigs by 63.
Plenty.
Whew.
Okay, the other game tonight, Adelaide and St Kilda at the Adelaide Oval. Well, there's so much to play for the Crows, who really hold their own destiny in 8th spot. And as for the Saints, they can make it 3-3 under Brett Ratton. However, I think the Crows just by a couple of goals.
I hope the Saints, because I just don't like the Crows.
Saints for me.
After this weekend, we'll have our second head coaching announcement. Saints to put the Crow seasons away, I think.
Okay, the first game of Sunday between the injury-ravaged Collingwood and Gold Coast at the MCG. I think Collingwood should win by about 4 goals.
Pies.
Pies.
And to go the Suns.
Whoa.
Woof.
And the mid-afternoon... Yes, and the mid-afternoon game between Carlton and West Coast at Marvel Stadium should be a real interesting battle, especially between the midfields. I think, though, West Coast by a couple of goals, but surprise me if Carlton win.
You know what? Jones is a big out, but I'll stick fat. Go Blues.
You'd want to be on the Blues right now.
Yuri having a bit of fun in his last show ever at Brett on the Blues. Look, we all hope the Blues. That's not put any evil on the Blues, shall we, Yuri?
Yeah.
Blues by 13.
Okay, and now the final game of round 20 between Brisbane and the Western Bulldogs up at the Gabba. Well, the Dogs hold their own destiny as well. As Jason Johannesson said in his Wednesday's press conference, we can match you with anyone's best football. However, I think Brisbane by about 3 goals.
Lions.
Dogs in an upset.
Lions. And that's about it for the review for the rest of the week. Good luck to the Blues, obviously, on Sunday. And Yuri, while you're on fire, rattling off 90 words a minute, let's go through the Blues versus Crows review from last week and enjoy that one.
Sure, absolutely. So Carlton recorded a big 27-point win over Adelaide at the MCG. With it, we record our first hat-trick of victories since 2016, dominating the
Blues.
Crows
yes.
across the board to notch our 5th win in 7 games under interim head coach David Teague. Carlton controlled the inside 50s early on, and a goal to Cripper, who had 14 disposals and 5 clearances just for the opening quarter, and some strong forward half pressure by the likes of Michael Gibbons, Darcy Lang, and Jack Silvani gave the Blues something to build on heading into the first break. A brilliant defensive effort by Sam Petrescu-Seaton provided a spark for the Blues, which helped Kennedy find the goals before a strong mark and a late goal to Silvani saw us take a 4-point lead into the first break. In the second, Cade Simpson was prolific off halfback, helping Carlton transition from defence into attack on a number of occasions. The highlight of the quarter came from Will Setterfield, whose sensational spin move to pick up the ball helped set up Levi Casbolt for his first goal of the game. We extended our lead to as much as 22 points during the term, but we were wasteful in front of goal. We took a 16-point lead into the main break. In a more contested start to the third term, Carlton's big men got the ball rolling. First goal came to Andrew Phillips in his return into senior football, and a sensational third goal to Levi Casbolt gave the Blues the ascendancy early.
What a ripper goal.
Simpson continued to run rampant in the backline and even snuck forward for an important goal late in the term, which pulled us up by 23 points with 4 minutes to go. Setterfield continued to build on his impressive game, finishing the term at 21 disposals and 3 clearances. To commence the last, the 38,369 strong Blue Baggers in attendance erupted as Josh DeLuca sent the ball sailing through the big stitch in the opening 15 seconds. It was tense throughout the final term, with the Crows, who got within 16 points, threatening to steal the game from the Blues throughout. The Carlton defenders constantly stood tall under pressure, especially Liam Jones and Jacob Wietering. Patrick Cripps' 19th clearance found setters who capped off a sensational afternoon with what would be the match winner with 6 minutes remaining in the game. The moment of the match, Casbolt's third goal of the game helped the Blues steady the ship once again on the run. The big man controlled the ball with one hand, steadied and launched an outstanding shot from just inside 50 on the run, reminiscent of his 2012 goal against Essendon. Well, we can now move on to the three things that we learnt from the game. Number one, Will Satterfield is showing exactly why he was a highly talented youngster taking pick five back in 2016. Secondly, the Blues' forward line pressure is quickly becoming a major problem for the opposition, as seen in the opening quarter against Adelaide when we applied 11 first-quarter tackles inside our forward 50. And the third and final point, the veterans Cade Simpson and Dale Thomas are essential to the Blues' backline mix. The experience of the two veterans under pressure was important to Carlton's ability to effectively rebound out of its defensive back half. There was also plenty of run left in the old legs of the defenders as they ensured a quick transition for the Blues as they transitioned from down back to attack. And that's the review from last week of Carlton and Adelaide.
Great job, Yuri.
Well done.
A couple of points there. Firstly, to all the Blue Baggers in Melbourne, we know a lot of them have downloaded the MyTune app and listened to this live or listened to the podcast later. Well done, nearly 40,000 people at the G against the Crows, Blues-Crows game. Mate, the passion is back. They're coming out of the woodwork.
They're coming in waves.
Look, it was great to see. It was great to hear. The second point I thought was Cade Simpson's game. It was this probably doesn't get mentioned as much as others, like Walshy and Cripper and everything, but he is running into some serious form at the moment. And last week, his classic, he's another one that Teague's got playing his classic role, quarterback, sensational game, intercept marking with his courage for his size, just the exquisite skills and a little bit of run off halfback. Fantastic, complete game from him last week, loved it. What do you guys think?
Best game from Satterfield. Very stiff not to win the Rising Star nomination for the round. As you mentioned, Yuri, that blind turn was Cooter-like.
Yes.
Yep.
The crowd went berserk. I actually was one of the Blue Baggers at the MCG last Saturday, and I've got to tell you, there weren't many Crow supporters there. The majority, there was probably
38,369?
Okay, there was probably 38,000 Carlton supporters and 369 Adelaide.
not many came over on the AA.
Not many.
It felt more like 50,000, to be honest.
Yeah, it was pretty loud.
And it was over here, wasn't it, when we had that breakout victory against the Dockers, which really kick-started our role, our run. When we're up and about and we get those numbers, it's scary. And the other teams in the AFL, they'll be scared of what we can do. We're a powerhouse.
It's an exciting brand of footy, though, and that's what I like about it under Teague in the first seven games. You know, just play to your strengths, just go about, don't worry if you make a mistake, and just play the flow. That's all.
Andy, what were your highlights of the players or the game or whatever unfolded?
Yeah, Chris mentioned that blind turn by Will Satterfield. One of my favourite plays was when Samo Petrovsky-Seaton did that pickup in the Adelaide back line, Adelaide forward line, our back line. I thought it was incredible just the way he picked up that footy and spun and turned and fed it off. He's quite the player.
He'll be very important to us tomorrow. Against West Coast small forwards, we're going to definitely need him to step up.
Look, I think although it probably wasn't his greatest game ever, I think the role that Big Sauce Phillips came in and played was tremendous. Getting that ball either in Cripper or Walsh's hands or Murphy's hands, Curnow at times, or just at their feet was crucial for us. You know, he had a fantastic game. He didn't get all the taps. He didn't do everything great, but he ran into their bodies all day for us, and he did tap quite well, and that was huge. That's so important, getting those hands on the ball first.
And certainly responsible for 19 of Patrick Cripps' clearances.
Absolutely, and particularly if he's not getting the clearance, he's getting the big handball out wide, just the blind handball out wide. The runners know where to be. He knows where they are, and now you've got Zach Fisher coming back into the side for a struggling Paddy Dow. That provides and poses a lot of problems bombs for the Eagles tomorrow. So very, very interesting. I wish Sauce the best of luck. I hope he has a great game. Because he's up against Tom Hickey. I'm not sure if Vardy's playing.
Vardy isn't playing. No. I looked at the lineups last night.
It's just Hickey. They're probably going to have to throw Darling in the ruck, I'd say, West Coast.
Or maybe they'll just play Hickey the whole game.
Oh, I doubt it. But.
Yeah, so, you know, that'll be scary for the Eagles. That thought.
Because Casbolt's also very good at the centre bounces.
Casbolt is very, very good everywhere at the moment. That's another big problem they got. You talk about Cripps.
Yep.
They talk about Walsh and they talk about all these other guys. What are they going to... You can't mark Casbolt. And he's going to run around and do... He's going to get told to go back or go for... He'll go where he's needed, but you can't just keep marking him up with the same player. He poses a lot of headaches at the moment, and he's confident and he's marking overhead. He's crucial.
He's kicking for goal, John.
Yeah. Mm. And he'll be needed in the back line as well, just against a strong forward line with Jonesy out there. But, you know, the Eagles, they're a strong side. They've got an incredible line-by-line back line right through to their full forward line. It's a great matchup.
It'll be great to see where we are.
Yeah, shame Jonesy's out.
Yep.
Hurts us, but I still think it's going to be a great game.
It's a real barometer for us, though, against West Coast tomorrow, too. So.
Absolutely. Now, look, guys, we've really enjoyed the conversation. It's been a really good start, and we do have to go to our first break. And when we come back, we've got a special guest. He's Josh Fraser, coach of the Northern Blues. We're going to have a chat about the emerging players and how he's going nurturing them through, who's looking good coming through, and who he's enjoying watching playing in the seniors at the moment. So Josh Fraser up after the break. Go Blues. Your WA Blues are the official West Australian supporter group for the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one at the Empire in Lathlane to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, WA Blue food and beverage specials, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. More information on the WA Blue schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook and Twitter. Go Blues.
Station sponsor. Is your business website stuck in the age of dial-up internet? Is your business website lost in the jungle on page 20 of Google? Perhaps no one can find your business online, and your competitors are stealing your customers. It's okay. TechTiger can help. For professional web design, digital marketing, and getting your business found in search engines, visit techtiger.com.au. TechTiger, proud sponsors of the WA Blues.
Station sponsor.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave, print, identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
Blue Baggers of WA. Join more than 60,000 members and be part of the record-breaking Carlton Army today. It is time to prove you are the most passionate Navy Blue region beyond Victoria in 2019. The region with the highest membership growth this year will go into the draw to win Virgin Australia flights, accommodation and tickets for two to the 2019 John Nicholls Medal, among other great prizes. Whether you're able to travel to Melbourne to watch the Blues in action or show your support from afar, there's a membership package to suit you. Head to membership.carltonfc.com.au right now and sign up today. There's no borders to being a Blue Bagger.
Station sponsor.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back to Breakfast at the Blues here on 91.3 Sport FM, where it's 22 minutes past 9 o'clock. Now let's get to Northern Blues review last week with Chris.
Okay, no worries. Well, it was a dominant four-quarter performance from the Northern Blues, recording a resounding 75-point victory against North Melbourne at Arden Street last week. We came out of the gate strongly, and having Liam Stocker stationed in the middle gave Northern some X-factor around the contest. It was Jesse Palmer who was the story of the first quarter, kicking three goals. Kim LeBoy was also lively up forward, relentless with his forward pressure, giving the Blues a four-goal lead at the first change. The second quarter began in similar fashion for the Blues, with its forward pressure around contest leading into numerous North Melbourne turnovers. Cameron Paulson kicked a clever snap to continue the Blues' run.
Northern's efficiency around the ground and in front of goal ultimately saw them take charge with a 7-goal quarter and a handy 48-point advantage at half-time. North Melbourne staged a mini-comeback with back-to-back goals early in the third term. However, the boys didn't lose their cool, kicking a goal against a tide through Sam Fisher. Then it was business as usual from there. Northern dominated in the middle of the ground with the midfielders gut-running a feature. Tom De Conning provided the highlight of the day with his entry for Mark of the Year, taking a high-flying grab-up forward. The game opened up in the final term with Fisher and Anderson once again leading the way. LeBoy opened proceedings with the deserved first goal, while Matthew Owies finished the game strongly, finishing with four majors. Final margins, 75 points, biggest ever win under Josh Frazier. Goals, Owies and Palmer 4 for Solo 3, Anderson and Paulson 2, and singles to Fisher, Gartlett, Keppel, LeBoy, Lobie and Stocker. Best, Cottrell for Solo, Owies, Anderson and Fisher. Who's putting their hand up for the first? De Koning for Solo, Cottrell, Owies, Schumacher and Stocker. And bear in mind, the Northern Blues play Collingwood tomorrow as a curtain raiser before the West Coast game at Marvel Stadium. Good win by the boys.
I'll say. It's good to see Owies kicking goals.
Oh, mate, it was good. It was also good to see Tom De Koning back and taking those big, strong grabs. That was magnificent.
And also Liam Stocker playing as well from the foot injury too. He's going to be a real asset.
So Liam Stocker played about 70% of the game for those 20 possessions, and Cottrell with 22 again, racking up the 20-possession game. So looking good for next year. We got a bit of depth coming through.
The foundation's there, I reckon.
Hopefully the big phrase get some just... playing hard and consistent, like strong throughout the year. They're probably not going to get too many chances in the seniors, if any at all. No. So may as well go full hammer and togs, get that experience, get them built up, ready for next year.
Yeah, that Cottrell is a one to watch.
Yeah, and really just to let everyone know, I have been trying to get Josh on the line, have been able to get through. He was expected to be available. And also the general manager of the Northern Blues, Ben Brennan, he was the backup, and he hasn't been answering the phone either.
What a shame.
For once, we've got a bit of time to go through all the stuff that I put on this run sheet. So, Andy, what have we got in the Blues news, milestones, tribunal updates, injury updates? Go for it, mate. What have we got?
Sure thing, John. I'm going to talk about the live video done by the Carlton marketing crew on Facebook this week. We all sat and waited for 28 minutes, staring at a table that had a contract and a Carlton Respects hat on it, to finally discover that our number 28, David Cunningham, signed on until 2022. Yes, that was 28 minutes for number 28. Cunners will blow out the cobwebs in the VFL on Sunday, or tomorrow, should I say. He plays in the curtain raisers that Chris just mentioned. That'll be good to see him back out in the park, and we wish him the very best in his return from a knee injury. Look forward to him playing 23 matches and finals in 2020. The VFLW Blues will also meet the Pies tomorrow out at Victoria Park in what I hope is a one-sided affair in favour of our Blue Girls, and a win for Darcy Vesio, whose birthday it is today. So happy birthday to you, Darcy Vesio, you champion. Former Carlton centreman Roger Hoggett died peacefully at the age of 77 this week. The Breakfast with the Blues panel and WA Carlton supporters pass on our condolences to his family, friends and teammates. Rest in peace, Roger. From carpet layer to Carlton's best 22, make sure you jump on the Carlton website and read all about Michael Gibbons' journey from two-time VFL list and trophy winner to playing alongside his good friend Cripper. Just do it. It's an amazing read. And quickly over to you, Chris, for a financial update.
Yes, one thing that was, I think it's in the Melbourne Herald Sun this morning, there was an interview of Kane Liddell, that said that the Blues could be debt-free within the next 2 years, and the reason's due to the membership increase and the hike and also the attendance records. He also did mention that probably next year, for the first time for a long time, that we'll actually be paying 100% of our salary cap and 100% of our soft cap, which is all the coaches and assistant coaches. So maybe he knows something that's not out in the media yet, like why would we be paying 100% of the salary cap? Did we actually land a big fish? Who knows?
Tantalising.
Yeah, I guess that'll be interesting to see, won't it, come the, you know... trade period and etc.
But it's great to hear that we actually can be debt-free within the next 2 years.
Very encouraging. Very encouraging signs. And well done, Blue Baggers, on signing up as members and getting along to games. Well done.
And make sure we do it all again next year and keep growing strong.
Absolutely.
Over to you, Johnny.
And, guys, thanks very much for that and for helping me get through the run sheet and the stuff we don't normally get through. Good news. We've got the great man on the line. And just before we bring him on, just like to remind all the listeners, Josh Fraser, he's the guy in charge of the Northern Blues and the man responsible for nurturing our next wave of talent coming through, some of the guys that we've seen coming through now. It's his fourth season at the helm and as development coach for the Carlton Football Club as well, doing a fantastic job, and we're really seeing the fruits of his labours as well. And we'll give him a big pump up and a big congratulations for last week, his greatest ever victory as coach of the Northern Blues, 75 points over the struggling Roos, but you still got to get out there and do it no matter who you're playing.
Hello, Josh.
Josh, welcome for the first time to Breakfast with the Blues, mate. Great job last week. How are you going today?
Yeah, really well, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, obviously a pretty pleasing result last week, and I guess, you know, when you've got such a young group at VFL level, those types of results are important to build belief and I guess to reinforce the pathway that you're on. But a number of players contributed really well, both our AFL-listed boys and some of our VFL-listed players. So it's certainly a work in progress, the Northern Blues, particularly with the nature of the VFL and how much it changes from week to week. But last weekend's performance was really pleasing.
Yeah, and a great win with the skipper Wilson being out must have had a huge impact on the guys this year. And but 7-7, big game coming up against Collingwood next week. Tomorrow, if we have a win, then 8-7, and hopefully make a little run for the finals.
Yeah, well, I wish it was that easy, but we certainly have spoken as a group this morning, in fact, just about the responsibility and the maturity that we need to show as a group, having had a really good win last week and now coming up against a team who's very dangerous in Collingwood. And I know people, particularly this week, have spoken a lot about their injury list, but the fact is they've still got quality players at VFL level across the board. So it's another opportunity for our younger players to learn about how to handle a result from last week and then turn up and be able to get the job done again. But, you know, I think that's just another little challenge on their pathway or on their development. And in terms of finals, you know, I'm certainly encouraging the boys to think that way, because that's the sort of culture and environment we want to create at both AFL and VFL level. So it's an exciting time, one that's lined with a lot of opportunity, but you've got to make sure the boys are ready to grab it. And, you know, that comes down to the way they prepare physically and mentally, and you end up finding out a bit more about them in these types of scenarios.
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks for those insights, Josh. And, mate, before I throw you to the panel for a couple of questions, just take a step back to 2016 when you first came to the club. It was a big year for you. Not only did you cross over from the Suns to the Blues with the coaching appointment, but you also joined the mighty the Tattooed Hawks Football Club. You go on to kick 8-6 in the grand final to secure the premiership. Mate, surely that was a highlight of your career.
It's funny, mate. It was a highlight. I mean, when I'd finished playing AFL, the last thing I wanted to do was go back and play local footy for a number of different reasons. But I was probably a little bit disenchanted with my playing days, and I really wanted to sink my teeth into coaching. And I got talked into a couple of opportunities to play at local footy. So to be able to travel down to Tattooed and have no idea where it was in the first place or how to get there, and I guess experience that sort of community feel and culture was just unbelievable. And you know, I'm very thankful to them for welcoming me on sort of different terms, because I couldn't train and I could only play a certain amount of games. But I had a ball. It's a really real country community and terrific people, and to be able to win the premiership was a really good experience. So it doesn't matter what level you play at, to get those opportunities is fantastic. So it was something I certainly enjoyed.
Awesome, Josh. Thanks for that. Andy, over to you, mate.
Josh, this is your fourth consecutive year as coach of the Northern Blues. How emotionally connected are you to the players at the footy club, and how much did last week's amazing performance from the young men under your tutelage mean to you?
Yeah, good question. How much am I connected to them? I'm connected and invested in them as much as you would hope a coach in a senior position could be. And I think there's probably a little bit of a lack of understanding in some circles of the VFL role, and the fact that I'm responsible for a list of 30 VFL players along with the AFL guys that come back and play on any given weekend. So you're basically dealing with the same sorts of conversations you would at any other footy club. I've got any number of 15 to 20 VFL listed players who want to know why they're not getting a game, and you've got to continue to give them some feedback and and keep them heavily invested and involved. And you've also got a number of Carlton players who aren't playing AFL who want to know why they're not playing and a way forward to be able to push for selection. So you've got some different dynamics, and then overriding that is the development and winning culture you're trying to implement. So you wear a number of different hats. You've got to try and balance all of those interests. I've always taken the philosophy that, you know, the more successful we can make our VFL program, the better it's going to help our football club. And the more successful the environment, the more the players are going to develop. So that's a pretty strong philosophy to have. And then you've obviously got to counterbalance that with, well, you know, we are quite a young list still. The list turnover you've seen at Carlton obviously has a ripple effect down through the Northern Blues. So, and if you look at this year as an example, we've played at times a really imbalanced team. We've had three ruckmen in the side at various times, and we've probably come up short a few times in games because we just haven't had the flexibility to be able to maintain a midfield group or a forward mix or whatever it might be because you're playing certain players. So you've got to take into account all those scenarios. But for me, the investment's enormous, and my priority overriding everything is to see the Northern Blues successful because I know that will in turn make Carlton successful.
Hey, Josh, Yuri Bilsic here. How are you going?
Good, thanks, mate.
Yeah, talking about your VFL side at the moment, the Northern Blues, with some of the talents that are coming through who can make it into the seniors, how do you rate Angus Schumacher, Tom De Koning, Liam Stocker, Cottrell, Owies, Cameron Paulson, Alex Vassolo and Patrick Kerr? And is there some serious talent still to come through that isn't too far away from make it into the big time?
Yeah, look, it's a good question. I think the thing to remember, and I can't recall every name you rolled off there, but the names that you rolled off are guys that are experiencing what a normal pathway through AFL looks like. And when I say a normal pathway, these guys have come into our footy club and they've seen players around them who are first and second round draft picks go straight in and play AFL. That's not normal. There's sometimes an exception to the rule, like a Sammy Walsh or a Patrese Seaton, but when you have 10, 12, 15 of them, that's not a normal set of circumstances. So the tendency is to look at a Schumacher or a Paulson or a Kerr and wonder why that's not happening to them. The pathway they're on is more a normal pathway for most young players, and they're all showing really strong growth in different parts of their game. So, again, I can't remember exactly every player you spoke of. I know you mentioned Shuey. Now, Shuey's developed really well as a key defender or a third tall defender. We're starting to give him some exposure up onto a wing and in different parts of the ground, and there's a couple of things within his game that he's working really hard on to push for selection. Paddy Kerr's been a key forward for us, and as much as he's impressed at different times this year, you look at the senior team and you say, well, how does he fit into that mix? So there's, a variety of different factors and reasons, but the pathway that a lot of those younger guys on, I know Liam Stocker was another one you mentioned, is a normal pathway for young players, and the ideal around that is for them to build consistent form so they do push for senior selection and put pressure on the bottom four or five at AFL level. Guys I'm really excited about, I think Matty Cottrell's had a really good couple of weeks. I think he's going to continue to get better off half-back and on a wing. We know Tommy De Koning's got enormous talent, and I think he's just got to continue to develop the habits and the work ethic, not necessarily game day, but during the week that's going to underpin his talent because he could be anything. And we know Liam Stocker, he's a hard inside mid who's really learning that midfield craft and the requirements associated with playing AFL midfield. So, there's plenty to work with. It's certainly exciting, and I think all those guys you mentioned, they're only going to get better and better with another summer under their belt and some continued education.
Good morning, Josh. Chris Browning here. Mate, we're up and about a bit regarding the Stocker trade after our recent victory against the Crows. And last week, coming back from injury, he played 70% of the game for 20 disposals of his usual contested brand. We loved having him on the show earlier in the year, and he seems to have all the right attributes. Could you please tell the listeners and expand a bit more about this kid?
Well, he's a very driven and determined kid, which, you know, I think you can certainly see why the recruiting staff went down that path. I think Stock's immediate challenge is to build consistency and continuity into his body. And the thing I really like about him is he owns his development and he owns his pathway as a young player. So he's He's really invested in conversations on how to get better. He goes and actions these things. Remembering he missed a chunk of footy this year as well through injury. So, look, I think it's one of these things that you'll only judge probably 3 or 4 years down the track. But right now, he's a young player. Again, probably experiencing a normal pathway for a player of that ilk. And, he's a contested ball inside. He'll continue to work on his, running capacity, but, he's got a lethal foot as well. So he's got some real attributes that, he's just going to keep developing over time, but certainly, something to look forward to for Carlton supporters.
Yeah.
Josh, we'll get away from the Carlton listed players a bit there, because you are just doing a fantastic job with the team, as you have done since you started 4 seasons ago. But this year's been a little bit of an up and down season so far. What are the goals remaining for the rest of the year?
VFL. Well, we've got 4 games left, and we're very much in the hunt to play finals. So I think we'd be pretty derelict in our duties if we didn't start putting that on the agenda and seeing if, you know, the lure of playing finals means enough to enough players. And you're talking about another environment, I guess, of responsibility for these guys, where you know, you want to be contending for finals, you want to be contending for premierships, and performances in those games, in those situations, they count for a lot. So you're always assessing the character of players, guys that will stand up, the guys it gets too hard for, the guys that can galvanise the teammates around them. So I think we're in such a unique and fortunate opportunity the next 4 weeks, where the destiny's in our own hands. And, you know, as a coach, I'm pushing very much that, you know, we take care of this week and then we refocus and realign for the week after. But notwithstanding, we want to keep working really hard on developing these guys as individuals. But, you know, I think collectively we need to really put that agenda on the table and strive towards being as good as we can right now.
Well, I'll tell you what, listeners, Big Rogan, he put a blanket on me when I mentioned finals earlier. He's come full circle. He's talking the F word. I love it. Good on you, mate. Well done.
You Northern Blues.
Nice turnaround there. Yeah, very positive.
Yeah, well, I might be setting myself up for a failure, but I'm really confident in what our boys can do at their best. And again, we've got to make sure that we keep them on the hook with, in regards to bringing their best footy. No one will just give us a free passage into a finals run, but we're in a position where if we're good enough and we earn it, we'll make the most of it. But why not have a real crack at it while we're in this position?
Well, Josh, no matter what the results for the rest of the year, there's no way you could be setting yourself up for failure, because these kids are doing outstandingly well. And we do follow it over here in the West. We watch the live streams in the VFL app. We follow, we love reading your reviews as well. And these kids playing against men are developing really quite fast, and you're doing a great job, mate. So, look, thanks very much for that. Thanks very much for giving up your time today so generously for us on Breakfast with the Blues. The supporters love it. And, mate, good luck for the rest of the year. Bring on the finals and go Blues.
Go Blues.
Go Baggers.
Good on you guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Josh.
Thanks, Josh. Good on you, mate.
Great insights there. Guys, I'm going to go straight into the break. We've run a minute or two over time there. We just squeezed it in there. It was a bit late on the phone, but what a fantastic interview. Yeah, we'll have a bit of a chat about it after we speak to not the hyphen after the break. We've just heard through the hyphens on the plane, the Tassie. We've got Terry Dehaney coming on to review the games. Famous on Facebook for the Blue Abroad reviews. Can't wait to get Tezza on the phone. So as we always say, go Blues.
Blue Baggers of WA. Join more than 60,000 members and be part of the record-breaking Carlton Army today. It is time to prove you are the most passionate Navy Blue region beyond Victoria in 2019. The region with the highest membership growth this year will go into the draw to win Virgin Australia flights, accommodation and tickets for two to the 2019 John Nicholls Medal, among other great prizes. Whether you're able to travel to Melbourne to watch the Blues in action or show your support from afar, there's a membership package to suit you. Head to membership.carltonfc.com.au right now and sign up today. There's no borders to being a Blue Bagger.
Station sponsor.
Your WA Blues are the official West Australian supporter group for the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one at the Empire in Lathlane to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, WA Blue food and beverage specials, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. From our functions and events, you can find out about further upcoming local events. Carlton Football Club memberships, purchase of local WA Blues merchandise, season raffle tickets, even Carlton number plates for your car. Just look for one of the committee shirts and ask one of your friendly representatives for any information. We as a committee also help Carlton with pre- and post-match functions whenever the Carlton Football Club teams travel to Perth. Attending the pre-match functions gives you the chance to win match day ground passes. More information on the WA Blues schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook and Twitter. Go Blues!
Station sponsor.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave, print, identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
Is your business website stuck in the age of dial-up internet? Is your business website lost in the jungle on page 20 of Google? Perhaps no one can find your business online, and your competitors are stealing your customers.
It's okay. Tech Tiger can help.
For professional web design, digital marketing, and getting your business found in search engines, visit techtiger.com.au.
Tech Tiger, proud sponsors of the WA Blues.
Station sponsor.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by your WA Blues and presented today by myself, John Allen, Chris, Andy, Yuri and special guest Michaela in the studio. At this time of the program, we delve deep into the Blues performance last week, review this week's game tomorrow against
the Budgies.
Lower our lead shoulder and barrel straight into the most anticipated breakfast radio segment in Perth, the Shirt Front. Bit of a change up today. Normally we have the hyphen on every week, David Rees-Jones, but a very warm welcome instead goes out to our good friend, famous from Blue Abroad on Facebook with his fantastic Carlton reviews, and we've got him in, online, Terry Dehaney. Welcome to Breakfast to the Blues for the first time, and I hope I got your surname right.
Thanks very much for having me, guys. It's Degani, but that's okay. We'll work with it.
Thank you very much. Good one. I should have asked that before the show. As usual, I did not do my diligence. So, mate, Terry, again, welcome to the show. Just quickly, mate, the reigning premiers. They had to follow their big win last week with the four most feared words in the AFL right now, which are, next we play Carlton. Even for a system as elite as West Coast, we provide a lot of headaches for them, don't we?
No, we certainly do. I think we've got a great track record against them. I think even when we have been, you know, historically struggling, I think we've definitely matched up well against them. I'm not really sure what it is about the West Coast Eagles. It might be because when we do play them here in Melbourne, they're not necessarily at their best, but it's good to see that we can actually match it with them.
Now, mate, sounds like you're still at training. How's it going there?
You'll have to excuse us. I think it's a birthday party here. This is about to go off here. But, yeah, we're at the footy club at the moment.
Mate, love it. Live radio. You can't beat it.
I must say, the vibe in this place, it's a 10:30 a.m. training.
Hang on, Terry, we might just start singing. If you'll hear the background.
Yeah, so the vibe of the place is up and about, isn't it?
There would have been at least 300, maybe 400 people here at training this morning. Boys had a good run. Everyone's up and about. Everyone's talking to each other. It's just a great place to be.
And anything special happened at training that we should be aware of? Anything stand out?
Oh, I must say, so obviously it's a captain's run, so, you know, generally a light session. But yeah. Mitch McGovern in the cage, away from the main group, doing his sprints. A bit of a stitch-up for him, but I guess that's what happens, you know, when you're, you know, at this point of the year, he needs to get his fitness a little bit better than what it has been. So he was working very hard on his own with Andrew Russell.
That's okay. We love a good stitch up here on Breakfast with the Blues, and we wish Mitch all the best at Andrew Russell's fat farm. And it's over to Andy.
G'day, Terry. How you doing, mate? It's Andy Jones here.
Good, mate. Great to meet you, Andy. Great to speak with you.
Yeah, likewise, Terry. Best game from Will Setterfield last Saturday against the Crows, and I thought he was a bit stiff not to be the Rising Star nominee for the round. He looks a super talent, and I look forward to seeing what he brings in 2020. What are your thoughts on Will Setterfield, Terry?
I'm a big fan of Will. I went, was good enough, I was visiting Melbourne at the time early in the season. We played Collingwood in the JLT game, and it was the first time I got to really see Will Setterfield play, and I could just see that he's just clean in traffic, he's composed, and I think what's happened now is he's got the confidence in his mind with respect to his knee, and he's an inside midfielder, that's his go, and I think what we're starting to see is the confidence in his body, the way he's attacking the contest. Obviously the infamous spin move in the second quarter last week really shows how he's developing mentally. And, no, I think he's going to be a ripper for us once he puts a little bit more size on, and a big preseason coming up.
He's a lot of likenesses in that number 43 last week, so we're all excited and up and about that.
Hi, Terry. It's Yuri Bilsich here. How are you going?
Very well, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Last Saturday against Adelaide, I thought really the inside 50 tackling, especially in the first quarter, was evident, 11 of them in total, and it sort of reminded/resonated in a way of Brendan Bolton's first couple of seasons at Carlton, really applying that forward fierce tackling pressure, which disrupted so many teams like throughout the first two seasons. How would you have seen how that came out on Saturday, especially to deny Adelaide's defenders in Rory Laird and Brody Smith easy access out of their back half, because they're two of Adelaide's main attacking weapons there?
Yeah, no, look, it's a good point. And I had a look at the stats this week on the channel. We did a video on, you know, we've got a pretty good sample size of the David Teague coached Carlton team as opposed to the Brendan Bolton coached team of 2019. And a really stark stat that stands out for me is the time in forward half. We're plus 10 minutes and 9 seconds average per game in our forward half compared to the first 12 rounds of the season. So that's almost half a quarter, you know, in our forward half. So what that allows us to do is get more stoppages, and then when you look at the likes of Gibbons, DeLuca, Kennedy, these guys are, you know, natural ball winners, and what we saw last week was a real combination of that, I think.
It's not DeLuca, by the way, it's Chozza.
Yeah, Chozza.
Chozza. We love the Chozza.
Morning. Me too, mate. He's a big favourite.
Yeah. Good morning, Terry. Chris here. How are you doing?
Good, Chris.
That's good. Mate, one of the big matchups tomorrow will be Kennedy versus Wiedering. Kennedy has kicked bags against us, and Jacob has held the back line together this year and improved greatly. Do you think Wiedering can go head-to-head with Kennedy, or will Lockie Plowman or Hugh Goddard need to be that extra to come across to try and spoil now that Liam Jones is out?
Yeah, well, the short answer is yes. I think that's the key matchup. Even when Jones was in the team, I would have personally had Weed to start with Kennedy.
Yep.
I think he's got, you know, the body strength to go with him. And the one thing I've really enjoyed with Jacob this season is his ability to adjust mid-game. Obviously, early last week, Tex got, yep, you know, a hold of him probably in that first quarter. Jacob gave away that 50-metre or 100-metre penalty, and he was able to respond mid-game, and he sort of came out with the chocolates in the end. So I would back Jacob to keep Josh Kennedy honest. And I think it's going to be a really good matchup and a good test for him.
Yeah, I agree.
I actually think that Simo has a huge role to play there as well, especially with the form that he's in at the moment and the way he reads the play and intercepts across half back and can drop into the hole as well with his courage. Simo might have a big say in tomorrow in regards to that. We're going to need a lot of help. Guys, we've really just got to win it out of the middle and
that's
keep it pumping.
That's it.
Our
just don't let it get to the forward line.
Sure,
get in Cripper and Murphy's hands and get those big handballs out wide and let the boys do their thing. But, you know, it's going to get pumped in there, and I just think Simo has a bit of a role to play.
Yep.
We're just about ready to wrap it up. Before we do, Terry, where do we finish in 2020, mate? How many wins do you think we're going to get next year? How's it all tracking?
Tracking very well. Early, you know, before this season, I was saying 6 wins, that would be my guess. So we're there right now. For me, it really depends on, you know, who do we get in the off-season. Doc obviously comes back into the side. How's he playing? But for me, you know, the reality is the mandate is finals.
Who's coaching?
Whether that's...
Oh, yes.
Ooh, big question.
Ooh, I like it. I'm going to say Teague. I've come across, I've come along to the Teague train, and I'm all aboard.
Please. I feel the same.
Yeah, we're all feeling it at the moment, aren't we? Mate, we do have to wrap it up there. Thanks to Josh Fraser being a bit late on his phone in the second segment and a little whack there for Josh. We got a bit late here today, but, mate, we really, really appreciate you coming on today. As always, your insights and your reviews on the game, the second to none, we really appreciate it. And I think we might have to drop Bar the Hyphen to the bench. We might get him on next week as well. Not a chance. Tezza, you're a legend, mate, and we look forward to listening to Blue Abroad for the rest of the week, as we do every week. Thanks very much for today, and as we always say here, mate, go Blues.
Go Blues. Thanks, Terry.
Go Blues. Cheers,
Tezza. Thanks,
Terry.
Thanks a lot, mate. On you,
Tez. Terry DeGarney. Great interview.
Look, he does spend a fair bit of time there at training with his reviews and stuff like that. I think we'll get him on a little bit more. Well-spoken. Has all the stats. He's a bit of a Wikipedia on Carlton, so good on him.
He's a stats guru.
He's a bit of a stats guru, and you'd know, Yuri, wouldn't you? Yes. So, anyway, guys, we've got about 5 or 6 minutes. We've got two things to get through, the weekly whack, and just a bit of a rundown about tomorrow's huge event at the Empire, Carlton versus the Eagles, where we want to see at least 200 blue baggers down there screaming, cheering, no matter what happens, win, lose or draw. It's all about getting the families and the kids down there. But firstly, over to you, Andy Jones, for the weekly whack.
All right. This weekly whack goes out to the men bandying around some appalling and sexist comments on social media in regards to females umpiring AFL after Carlton's victory against Adelaide last Saturday. Now, I understand Eleni's record against Carlton isn't exactly flattering, but there are men umpires out there with worse records, especially the 13 free kicks Lee Fisher paid against us to St Kilda and a half of footy when we played them in round 10. Now, gentlemen, seriously, what is it about the lack of an appendage that has you so up in arms? What is it about a woman in a position of power that makes you shrink like a violet to the point where you resort to posting conversational detritus for unsuspecting people to read in their social media feeds? What was it about Taylor Harris's photo that made you feel the need to denigrate her? Whatever it is, gents, take ownership of your feelings and deal with it instead of projecting it onto the rest of us. Do you not have daughters who deserve success just as much as the boy standing next to them? Do you genuinely wish to see the limitations you preach to be imposed upon your daughter, niece, wife, fiancé or girlfriend? What about your mother or grandmother? If not, then think before you type. Whether you like it or not, we've actually progressed as a society. Women's involvement in footy and sport in general is growing healthily, and rightly so. The next time you want to denigrate a woman's involvement in sport, particularly Aussie rules, have a think about Daisy Pearce's achievements. 2 times AFLW All-Australian team. 2 times Melbourne Football Club Best and Fairest. 2 times AFLW Player's Best Captain Award. Furthermore, 1 VFLW Best and Fairest, 2 times voted in the VFLW Team of the Year, 10 VFLW Premiership player, 6 times Helen Lambert medalist, 5 times Deb and Falcons best and fairest, and 1 time Lisa Harden medalist. Not only that, Daisy is a wife, a mother, and an exceptional TV host. Daisy and her female counterparts in executive, managerial, umpiring, coaching, playing, or media roles deserve your respect. To the gentlemen listening out there now, for one bloke to another, feminism came about for the sake of equality, not for the sake of subjugating men. The time has come to think outside of your internal monologue, to get out of your echo chamber, to hear the voice of the world around you and see the bigger picture. We are better than this, gents. Seriously, the future is now.
Well said, Andy. Absolutely well said, Andy. And your comments there and your statement reflects what we're all thinking. And, you know, today I've got my daughter, my 10-year-old Carlton member, sitting in on the studio again today. And just the thought of this going on and not improving makes me sick. So if you are out there, if you think you can hide behind that keyboard for the rest of your life, you're wrong. Eventually it's going to come out. Someone's going to know about it. You'll be exposed. Don't think you're going to hide behind that keyboard, because there are a lot of people out there with daughters, nieces, as you articulated, Andy, that are going to want to thump you. You can't hide. Yep. Okay? And we don't condone violence by any stretch of the imagination, but I tell you what, you wouldn't want to be involved in denigrating my daughter or daughters or partner or mother. Just be a man. Don't be a coward. Don't hide behind your keyboard. Your intention is to get a rise out of people. You succeed in that, but you're not going to be able to hide from it. you're going to end up either spending the rest of your life hiding in that little room behind, like a cartoon character, behind your keyboard, or you're going to have to go out and face the music. Be a man, grow up, society, let's move on. Great stuff, Andy. Now, we go, we've got to mention tomorrow.
Yep.
220 Great Eastern Highway, the Empire, home of the Carlton Football Club in WA. Big game. We've had 3 wins in a row. We've won 5 out of our last 7. One of those against Brisbane, which was a fantastic win. The one last week against the Adelaide Crows. Now the big test, the reigning premiers, line by line. Man, they're a tough side. Yep. They're going to be hard to beat across those lines in that midfield.
Absolutely. Especially the back half too.
The way we're playing, we match up very well, and stylistically we match up very well. Mm. It's got the potential to be one of the games of the year. And if you're a Carlton supporter and you're living in the Perth metro area, we've even had guys driving from Narrowton to come and watch our events. It's just been sensational. Pinjarra as well. I love what the supporters are doing this year. We're going to get over 200 down at the Empire, and you want to be a part of it. Just a reminder too, the Sam Walsh signed jumper with AFL Certificate of Authenticity, custom framed by our friends at Master Picture Framers in Cannington. Beautifully plaqued and presented also by Allmark Engravers in North Perth. Great supporters of the WA Blues. That is going to be our raffle prize. Only $5 a ticket, 3 for $10. I want to get rid of it. I want one lucky person to take that home tomorrow. So that's another great reason to get down to the Empire, as well as the food specials. The beef brisket pizza. The pulled beef brisket pizza is on tomorrow. That's a special for the WA Blues supporters. Guys, get on down to the Empire. Bounce down at 1:20. Get down there early. Order your lunch.
$6 pints. Hot wings.
And good luck to the Blues tomorrow. Big
go
game.
Go
good luck to the Northern Blues tomorrow, and Josh Fraser against Collingwood as well in the VFL. And as we always say, great show, and go Blues.
Go Blue Boys.
Go Baggers. And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Cold Dark Blues. We
Your AFL weekend begins every Saturday morning from 9 a.m. on Sport FM 91.3's Breakfast with the Blues. Hosted by your official Carlton WA supporters group, the WA Blues, we review all upcoming AFL games of the round. Live interviews with past and present players, coaches and icons complement our weekly No Punches Pulled Carlton team review, The Shirt Front, with the one and only David Rees-Jones. So grab a cuppa, pop your toast and kickstart your footy weekend every Saturday morning from 9 a.m. at Breakfast with the Blues, and always, go Blues.